All right, Revelation chapter 20. Nice to see you all. Revelation chapter 20, one of the key chapters in any study of what will happen when the Lord Jesus Christ has come. For we have reached that stage in our study. Much of what we have looked at up to now has been those signs that tell us that the approach of Christ's return is drawing on. We have seen some aspects of his coming, how he overthrows the armies of Antichrist, delivers Jerusalem. And now we're going to look at what takes place subsequent to that. I will emphasize again that there is so much happens when the Lord Jesus comes again. If you read the Gospels, you have glimpses sometimes of the activities of the Savior when he came to a village. We read that anyone who was sick, they brought them out to meet the Savior. So you can just imagine all types of sicknesses and diseases and injuries were there gathered among the people. And if somebody was telling the story the next day about what had happened, they could hardly tell it all. Oh, they would remember this lady who was healed, and that man who was healed, and then there was the wee baby that was healed. And that was just one day when the Savior was here on earth. Well, the day when he returns will commence such a series of wonderful, wonderful, and unimaginable events that it's difficult to conduct a study. You find yourself looking at one element and then having to go back and look at another branch of the events that are taking place, and I'm going to be doing that. I'm looking today at the saints of God reigning with the Lord Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. And when I finish that, I'm going to have to come back, as it were, to the instant of the Savior's return, and then start another look at some of the things that were happening as a result of his returning. Well, let's read from the first verse of Revelation, the chapter 20. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And we will end our reading there, and may the Lord help us and give us understanding. We're looking today then at the saint of God, that is, the saved people, right from Adam, up until that time when the Savior returns again. All of the redeemed, will reign with Christ. We're told here that there takes place, when Christ comes again, the first resurrection. There are two resurrections, boys and girls. Two resurrections. There's one when Christ comes again, and then, this is told to us very clearly here, there is one at the end of the 1,000 years. Look at verse 5. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. Those who rose in the first resurrection were the saints of God, were the saved. Those who didn't rise were the unconverted. And they were raised after the 1,000-year reign of Christ, raised to stand before God in judgment. So just bear that in mind. Two resurrections. That's why it says here that verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him. That's why it's so important to be saved. Only those who are saved will have part with Christ in his 1,000-year reign. Only those who are saved and who died years ago, the Davids, the Pauls, the Peters, the Matthews, and all the Old Testament saints, the Daniels, the Jobs, they rise in the first resurrection, and they share in the reign of Christ upon the earth. Then again, what is happening now at this resurrection is the beginning of the millennial reign of Christ. Christ will reign on this earth. Christ will reign on this earth. He will become the king of this earth. When he came the first time, he was rejected. The Jewish leaders, when Christ was before Pilate and on trial, and Pilate was trying to get him off, but they were shouting for an execution. And Pilate said, well, what will I do with your king? Remember what their answer was? We have no king but Caesar. That was the spirit of the people when Christ came to this earth the first time. They rejected the kingship of the Lord Jesus. They rejected the lordship of the Lord Jesus. And that was the spirit of man ever since the sin of Adam. There has been a rejecting of God and his rule and his authority. Even today, boys and girls, maybe among you, there's some who refuse Christ. You're not saved. And you don't want to be saved. You don't want Christ as your king and your ruler. You don't want to do what he says and live by his law. That's the spirit that dominates the world. Each one of you who is saved, you have constantly to seek God for help and grace to live for him. Because we do have within us an old nature that still rebels against God. Like the prodigal son, that old nature would want us to leave the father's house and go and live in a far country and do what we want to do, and not be under our father's rule. Christians have that old nature, and it's a battle every day. God help us. It's a battle every day, boys and girls, to resist, to overthrow, to get the victory over that awful inclination to rebel against God. But when Jesus comes, he's going to subdue the world. He's going to bring it under his control. He's going to put down all rebellion. All rebellion. And his saints will reign with him.
Verse 4.
And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. Not just one throne, the throne of Christ, but there were other thrones, lesser thrones. And upon those thrones were seated the saints of God. And it says, verse 4 again, judgment was given unto them. They shared in the rule of Christ. They helped him carry out his rule. Each saint will have their own duty to perform during the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just show how that it's not just here in Revelation 20 that we read about this reign, but turn back to Daniel, the chapter 2. We read verse 34. Daniel's explaining to Nebuchadnezzar the king what he had seen in his dream. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, wasn't done by man, in other words, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron and the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken in pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floor. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. That's what Nebuchadnezzar the king had dreamed. So this stone falling on the image's feet, and then the whole image being destroyed, and that stone became a mountain and it filled the whole earth. And he just didn't know what this meant. So Daniel explains to him, verse 44, in the day of those kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. This is one of the early references to that which we read in Revelation chapter 20 of Christ coming back. He was the stone that men set at nothing, men despised. But now he's coming back in glory, and he's destroyed rebellion, anti-Christianity, the kings of the earth, etc., etc. He's destroyed all them, and he has established a kingdom on earth, and it fills the whole earth. It's not just Israel. It fills the whole earth. That will include Kilskerry. Now, saints of God will have part in the Saviour's ruling of the earth. I think I leave it there, and the next time we're together, I'll take that up, and I'll show you some verse in the Word of God, which, if you don't believe in the millennial reign of Christ, are meaningless. I have read many commentators on some verses in the Scriptures, and it's very obvious those men, learned men as they were, good men, holy men as they were, great servants of God as they were, but because they hadn't an understanding of the millennial reign of Christ, they literally talked nonsense as they tried to explain some of the verses that we're going to look at the next time we're together. And these verses will help us to understand that when the saints of God are reigning with Christ, and if you're saved, I'm talking about you, and I'm talking about duties that you will have under Christ during that period of time. We look at verses that helps us understand these things. The next time we're together, let's bow in prayer. Lord, give us understanding of these things, I pray. Grant your grace to us. Pour out your Spirit upon us. We ask it now for Jesus' sake. Amen.